Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now it's out of the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 12th, 2024, or it is the 10th day of Tishri 2028. This is the Day of the Atonement. We're in the 3 o'clock hour for the blotting out of sins. We're going to have a prayer to start our service at this hour. And in 1 hour we'll have a prayer at the closing of this third hour. And we will do a sermon pertaining to the atonement that we are in now. The sign of the salvation is through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20-21. And the blood of the everlasting covenant for our salvation. So this will be the name of our service at this hour. The crown out of salvation through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20-21. In the blood of the everlasting covenant for our salvation, the daily and the atonement. All you need to put for the title of this sermon is the plan of salvation is through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20-21. We're going to now, this is the plan of salvation through the new and living way. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of the Yeshua unto another gospel. And that gospel are two words put together by the English people. They put the word God, which is pagan for Baal, and they put the word spell, spelled it, S-P-E-L-L-E-D, meaning that God spelled it out, the plan of salvation, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and the law of Moses of the Old Testament. So the word is gospel, and so when you read the word gospel today, you don't have a clue what makes up the gospel. What made those translators come to put this thing together? And two words into one, that's incomprehensible. But we're going to make it comprehensible. The gospel today means faith in the blood of the new and living way of the Yeshua, which represents the everlasting covenant for us today. So we're going to read that Galatians 1:6 again. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of the Yeshua unto another plan of salvation with no blood for redemption in it. So those are this plan of salvation that these Galatians were moved to was an incomprehensible plan that they didn't have a clue how to explain it for salvation. But they were removed unto it because those Jews come out of Jerusalem, those Pharisee Jews, they come out and try to undo all the work that the apostles did with the Gentiles there in Galatians, by telling them that they didn't have to follow the new and living way. They're going to have to continue following the old way of the animal sacrifice. And that's what the Galatians were removed back to, the animal sacrifices of the old covenant, denying Yahshua's crucifixion and resurrection. Number 7, Galatians 1. Which is not another, so it says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of the Yeshua unto another doctrinal teaching of the plan of salvation, how to be saved. And verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Yeah, those Pharisees and Sadducees in Jerusalem, those heathen apostatizers of the house of Laban, of the house of Cain, and would pervert the gospel or pervert the plan of salvation of the Yeshua through the new and living way of Hebrews 10:19-20. But though we are an angel from the heaven preach any other plan of the salvation to the brother everlasting covenant of the Yashir unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So if anybody comes preaching anything contrary to what we have preached unto you about the how to be saved through the brother everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10:19-20, then let him be accursed. Well, that's what we have today. We are in the midst of the house of Laban, and they have their own idea how to be saved. And they just mock the statutes of Yahweh. They just mock and prance up and down, and they just have no fear at all. We've already had evidence of this right here on the Day of Atonement. We've had two Adventists come into our house today, claiming, one of them claiming to believe in the Day of Atonement, claiming to be fasting today, and she's out walking and doing, and I said, well, you know, I thought they'd come to worship with us, knowing that this was the Day of Atonement. No, they didn't come to worship. They used to come to say hi because they were out walking for their exercise. In every age, there is a new development of the truth, a message of the Yahweh to the people of that generation. The old truths are all essential. New truth is not independent of the old, but an unfolding of it. It is only as the old truths are understood that we can comprehend the new. And this is taken from Christ Object Lessons, page 129, by Ellen G. White. That's her quote. For every prophetic type, there has to be an antitype, Isaiah 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them. Question. How important and accurate was the sanctuary system in the clarification of the Daniel 8:14? In 1844, did the investigation prove the lightness of both sanctuaries? Answer. The subject of the sanctuary was the key which unlocked the mystery of the disappointment of 1844. It opened to view a complete system of the truth. Great Controversy 423. In their investigation, they learned that there is no scriptural evidence sustaining the popular view that the earth is the sanctuary. But they found in the Bible a full explanation of the subject of the sanctuary, its nature, location, and services. Great Controversy 411. BW1, track Lawbreaker.
You got
a J. Oh, yes, from Brother W. Johnson. That was our pastor at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, from 1970 to 2003, as a VWJ's track Lawbreaker. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Daniel 8:13-26. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under a foot? And the vision of the evening and the morning. Now we're during the evening right now at the third hour of the day. This is a sacred hour on this Day of Atonement.
It's the ninth hour.
This is the hour that I have a correction. This is the ninth hour, but this is at the 3 o'clock in the evening. This is the second sacred hour of the day. And the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Alright, it says, this vision of the prophet Daniel about the daily, taken out of the way, and the host being trodden underfoot, tells us that somewhere in time, someone is going to accomplish this for a period of time. Since it says for many days, means it is only to be for a period of time before it is to be restored. Now you see this word restored? And this is who Elijah David, who's speaking to you right now, is called to do. Actually, Rhoda Johnson was the one given that privilege in 1970. He restored the sanctuary back to its rightful order. He gets the full credit for that. For it says, for it shall be for many days, meaning there is a set time for its restoration. Well, when Rhoda Johnson, continued publishing the calendar up to 2003 and keeping the feast day, yet the daily he rescinded. It was too inconvenient for him and his family, his personal family, his son, that had owned a business and hired people to work for him. It was too inconvenient for them to do this, so he rescinded it. Said, well, we don't have to do it until we get into the land. And so that's where Yahweh got rid of him. Whenever he told Yahweh how he was going to conduct his sanctuary services, then Yahweh got rid of him. At the time of the end, this divine institution is restored. Okay, so at the time of the end. And so 1970 then constituted the beginning of the time of the end, because this sanctuary service was restored with the creation calendar fully restored with the daily and everything by the brother W. Johnson, 1970, along with all the sacred institutions. There it is. Now that we are in the time of the end, then it is time for every heavenly institution to be restored. Okay, to be restored. So, for the perfecting and saving of the saints, observance of the daily is our preparation for judgment on the Day of the Atonement. Okay, so let's read that again. For every heavenly institution to be restored, for the perfecting and saving of the saints, that there be the 144,000 in the first fruits harvest of the Adventist Church. That's the reason why the sanctuary system had to be restored in 1970. Observance of the daily is our preparation for the judgment on the Day of the Atonement, and we are in the Day of the Atonement right now. Once a year, the Israelites congregation came up to the Day of the Atonement to be sure their records were clean, or if they were tainted with any unforgiven sin. The daily is a preparation for the observance of all the feasts of the Leviticus 23. Daniel 11:31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Okay. Who are they that shall place the abomination that maketh desolate? Who has copied the true sanctuary service of the Yeshua and corrupted it? Answer, the Catholic Church, for they practice a daily worship called the Mass, which the people attend on a daily basis, and on Sunday, when the priest administers the wafer unto the people. He tells them it literally becomes the body of the Yeshua when they eat it, yet when you study the scriptures, you find that it is not what it teaches. Yes, the unleavened bread eaten at the Passover time is a symbol of the Yeshua's body, but it does not become his body when eaten. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is represents my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You does not refer to us today. It referred to the disciples. Webster's Dictionary on the word testament. Testament. Testamentum. Therefore, testera, to be a witness, to make one's last will, akin to test it, a witness, one law, a solemn, authentic instrument in writing, by which a person declares his will as to the disposal of his estate and affects after his death and hand. This is otherwise called a will, and sometimes a last will and testament. A testament to be valid must be made by a person of the sound mind, and it must be executed and published in the due form of the law. A man, in a certain cases, may make a valid will by word of mouth only. One of the two distinct revelations of the Yahweh's purposes toward man, a covenant, also one of the two general divisions of the canonical books of the sacred scriptures, in which the covenants are respectively revealed as the Old Testament and the New Testament, often limited in the colloquial language to the letter. Yeshua is a mediator of the New Testament for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, Hebrews 9:15. Okay, Hebrews 9:24. For the Yeshua is not entered into the holy places made with the hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of the Yahweh for us. For the Yahshua took bread, and after he had blessed it, gave unto his disciples, telling them it represented his body. He did not say it turned into his body. Every time they would eat it, he also told them the wine, grape juice, represented the New Testament and his blood. This is a key point we want to understand. The New Testament in his blood is the new and living way. In the Old Testament time, the animal sacrifice with the slaying of the lamb pointed forward unto the Yahshua's coming in the future to bring an end of that system of the worship and set up in its place the sprinkling of the fresh blood of the Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary on a daily basis for the sins of the people under the New Testament dispensation, or you can use the other preposition, for the sins of the people with the New Testament system, or dispensation, within the New Testament dispensation, Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. Number 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for the making himself of twain, and one new man, and so making peace. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary unto us, and took it out of his way, nailing it unto his cross. Number 15, verse 15. And having spoiled our principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of the Yahshua. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of the Yahweh, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. And verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of the Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. With the truth. What is the truth? Well, we know what the present and real truth is. And having on the breastplate of the righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, preparation of the teaching of the plan of the salvation, faith in the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the peace. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17. And take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the Yahweh, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the mystery of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua for the salvation today for mankind. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hebrews 10:20-22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Yahshua, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of the Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Notice the veil represents his flesh. At the instant of the death of the Yahshua, the veil of the temple rent in twain, and the animal which the priest was about to sacrifice escaped. For the new and living way means no more death of an animal. When a sin is committed, for the sprinkling of the blood of the Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary now transfers our sin from us on a daily basis onto the horns of the altar in the heavenly sanctuary. And so this daily is at the third hour of the day, of the morning, which is at the ninth hour, or we call it 9 a.m. or 8, starts the third hour, and the ninth hour of the afternoon starts the third hour. And so it says Yahshua sprinkles his blood at these appointed times. Well, if we go around saying, oh, well, I'll have worship when I wake up in the morning, that'll be my daily. If I wake up at 6, I'll have worship, or 7, or whatever. And if I worship at night between 8 and 12 o'clock, well, then that'll be my worship for the evening. But is Yahshua there sprinkling his blood and receiving your offerings of prayer at those hours? No, it says that he's a high priest in heavenly sanctuary, and at these daily hours, at these appointed hours, he meets with us. We don't tell him when to meet with us. He tells us. Okay. Confess, and then the sprinkling of the blood is performed to cover them. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say the blood is shed and sprinkled and then confession made. That is a wrong teaching and is not backed by the law of Moses or law of the Yahshua. Just as the sins were confessed and blood sprinkled on the horns of the altar, so it is also done in the heavenly sanctuary. Moses was instructed to make the earthly sanctuary according unto the pattern shown him in the mount. So Moses was shown by that pattern of the heavenly sanctuary at the appointed time to perform these services as a high priest. of the priest. That was at the third hour and the ninth hour of the day, the two sacred hours. The saying that Yahshua died for my sin is totally wrong and out of context with the scriptures. You cannot find this idea anywhere in the scriptures. Dried blood does not blot out sin. Only the moist live blood of the sprinkling does. See page 15. That is the 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Since the beginning of the announcement of the judgment for the living in 2002, on the day of the atonement, at the time sins are removed from the heavenly sanctuary, and the sanctuary is cleansed as it was done in the type, we have the living Lamb, Yahshua, to sprinkle His fresh blood from His hands for us when we come in prayer with a contrite heart seeking forgiveness for sins committed. Yahshua does not have to die every time He sprinkles His blood. We are a most privileged people to understand how to follow the plan of the salvation through the new and living way with the blood of the everlasting covenant for our salvation. Daniel 10:10-11. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate sit up, there shall be 1290 days. This study teaches us that the importance of our practice of the daily, morning, and evening worship times and how it connects to the Day of the Atonement, for these two have a very definite correlation, and with this system of the worship, we become purified of our sins in the most holy on the Day of the Atonement in the heavenly sanctuary. First, I will give the type and how it pointed forward unto Yahshua and the importance of our practicing it. In the antitype, the judgment of the living, even our Savior Yahshua marked these times Himself, not because He sinned, but for the forgiving of the sins of the people who believed in Him. He died for the sins of many, not all. He set the example for all to follow. Hebrews 9:28. So Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Psalm 77:13. For thy way, O Yahshua, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a Yahweh as our Father? John 14:6. Yahshua said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. According unto the words of the Yahshua, the only way for anyone to have eternal life is through the sanctuary system and through His blood of the everlasting covenant, for He plainly states that we cannot come to the Father direct. Yahshua is the mediator high priest of the New Testament. Mark 15, 25, 33, 34, 37. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Yahshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And Yahshua cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit. Well, Yahshua was crucified at the third hour, 9 a.m., the time of the morning offering, but died at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., the time of the evening offering, according unto the law of Moses. As recorded in the book of the Exodus, little did the ones who crucified him realize they were slaying the true sacrificial lamb, the one they had so long looked forward to coming, according unto the law of the Yahweh and the prophecy of this time. Let's now go back and start at the beginning at the Garden of Eden, when sin made its entrance into the presence of man and woman. We will learn that there was a sanctuary already in the place in heaven. Genesis 2:15-17. And the Yahweh, Creator, took the man and put him into the garden of the Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This was a direct command from the Yahweh, the Father, to keep Adam and Eve pure and holy, for they could eat of any of the rest of the trees in the garden, but were commanded to leave only one tree alone. Why is temptation so strong? Satan sinned in heaven, and the sanctuary system was put into the operation for him and the fallen angels. Had this not been so, then Satan and the fallen angels would have died instantly without a chance of the repentance. Instead, the plan of the redemption was set up before sin entered. In the end of all things, fire will be rained down from the Satan and his angels, and they will die for the sins they caused the righteous to commit. But the wicked will die the second time for their own sin. Remember, it says in the scriptures, Yahweh created the world by the Yahshua. People think this means that the Yahshua created the world. No, actually, it was by the fact that the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, offered his life and blood for the redemption of man, should man sin. So by this plan of the salvation, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, was the world created. Since the divine law is as sacred as the Yahweh himself, only the one equal with the Yahweh could make atonement for its transgression. None but Yahshua could redeem the fallen man from the curse of the law and bring him again into the harmony with the heaven. Yahshua would take upon himself the guilt and shame of the sin so offensive unto a holy Yahweh, that it must separate the Father and His Son, Yahshua would reach to the depths of the mystery to rescue the ruined race. Before the Father, He pleaded in the sinner's behalf, while the host of the heaven awaited the result. The plan of the salvation had been laid before the creation of the earth, for the Yahshua is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yes, it was a struggle even with the King of the universe to yield up His Son to die for the guilty race. But the Yahweh so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Patriarchs and Prophets 63, paragraph 2 and 3. It says that Genesis 3, 4 and 5, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for the Yahweh doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as deities, in other words, as gods, knowing good and evil. Their great creator and father didn't want them to know evil. After all, He did create them perfect like Himself. Little did they realize that one bite would cause the whole human race to suffer for the thousands of the years before the sin would finally be brought to an eternal end. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Yahweh walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Yahweh amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Yahweh called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Number 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. After their confession of the sins, they were immediately driven from the Garden of the Eden, and an angel stationed to guard the gate so they could not re-enter. Now something had to be done to save the lives of this pair, or they will die before sundown, before the end of the day. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Yahweh make coats of the skin and clothe them. So what time of the day was it that they had to kill the lamb for the sin they had committed? It says that Yahweh came down in the cool of the day, meaning evening. So according unto this, then it had to be at the time of the ninth hour, which would be the second sacred hour of the day. This is a very important time to remember. Also, it is a time of the evening offering, sacrifice, and confession of sin. And we have got 10 minutes till this ninth hour is finished. We got 10 minutes till. And we're going to close right here at this ninth hour and have our prayer for confession of sin. And Adam had to take the lamb and bring it to the gate where the Yahweh has instructed him to build an altar for this sacrifice. Adam had to take the knife and slay this animal and then it would have had to be laid on the altar for a sacrifice for the sins of the parent. For the scripture says, Yahweh took the animal. Well, I'm going to have to make a correction here. This is Yahshua, the high priest. He's the only one qualified to take the animal that is used for a sacrifice for sin. And so it says, Yahshua took the animal skin and made clothes for Adam and Eve to wear. So this animal was skinned, and the skin used for their clothing. The sacrifice was made, and Adam realized what they had done would bring on the death of the Yahshua at a given time in the future. Sin entered the beautiful Garden of Eden, causing the first dirt of sin, and as a result brought about the beginning of the killing of the animals as a sacrifice for the sins of the first pair. Yahweh took the skins of the slain animal and made clothes for the Adam and his wife. This is a record of the first animal sacrifice offered for sin. Exodus 29:38-42. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning at the third hour. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at the evening at the ninth hour. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of the flour mingled, with the flour part of an hin of the beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of the wine, for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according unto the meat offering of the morning, and according unto the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Yahweh. 1888, Great Controversy, page 18-2. There daily the blood of the slain lamb had been offered, pointing forward unto the Lamb of the Yahweh. Leviticus 4:17. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Yahweh, even before the veil. Leviticus 16:14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Leviticus 16:15. It says, then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Leviticus 16:19. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. According unto the scriptures and the law of Moses, the priest sprinkled the altar each day. And then on the day of the atonement, the high priest took the blood and sprinkled seven times around the altar and upon the mercy seat, since this was in accordance with the law Moses said, it had to be carried on with the sprinkling of the blood of the Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary today. Today, Yahshua goes into the holy place of the sanctuary, and with our confessed sin, he sprinkles his fresh shed blood daily on the altar with his hands and fingers, and it is all carried on according unto the new and living way in the heavenly sanctuary today, with the smoke of the incense of our prayers, and all in the harmony with the law set up in the beginning of the plan of the salvation. Truly this is a beautiful picture we observe each and every day. Hebrews 12:24. And to Yahshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. First Peter 1:2. Elect according unto the foreknowledge of the Yahweh, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, and through the obedience and strengthening of the blood of the Yahshua, Messiah, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 2 Shepherd's Rod 187:1-2. In order to make a proper application of the seven seals, we must have a better understanding of the heavenly sanctuary service, its origin, and the object of its existence as taught by the earthly sanctuary built by the Moses, Hebrews 8:5. In the sanctuary construction and service is revealed the plan of the salvation. For the first apartment called the Holy Place, in which the high priest officiated daily with the sacrifices and divers manners of the gifts and washing, was a place for the confession of sin, all of which was a shadow of the heavenly things, clearly revealing the plan of the salvation. For the second apartment within the veil called the Most Holy, the holiest of all, was open only in the seventh month on the 10th day of the month in each year. The redemption from the condemnation of the law was assured. The verses 23:27-30, 16:34. It was called the Day of the Atonement, Judgment, or Cleansing of the Sanctuary, Leviticus 16:33, Daniel 7:10, and 8:14. This was a day for the blotting out of the sins accumulated during the year, and was a symbol of the great day of the atonement, not in the figure, but in reality. See Leviticus 16:19. Also, the great controversy, page 485, the seat overshadowed by the cherubim, being called the mercy seat, proved that it is a throne of the mercy, and therefore a throne of the judgment, where sinners can obtain mercy for the sins of the people accumulated in the holy place. As the people came to the sanctuaries twice daily all year long and offered sacrifices for any sins committed by the following this way, they were prepared for the day of the atonement with the assurance that their sins were blotted out on the day of the atonement. Had they not followed this plan way, their sins would not have been removed, for they could not have recalled every single sin when the atonement day arrived. Psalm 77:13. Thy way, O Yahshua, is in the sanctuary. who is so great a Yahweh as our Father. Matthew 13:33. Another parable spake he unto them, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of the meal, till the whole was leavened. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in the 3 measures of meal, is here showing that the kingdom of heaven is grown into a purified dwelling place for the saints. For the leaven being hidden in the 3 angels' messages by a woman, Ellen G. White, is representative of the sanctuary system being placed in the spirit of prophecy by the woman, Ellen G. White, and she is given the true understanding of the observance of the divinely ordained system of the true worship, with the deity being the heartbeat of it all. For the writings of Ellen White contain the interpretation of the sanctuary system, for we read in the Patriarchs and Prophets 353-354, as the priests morning and evening entered the holy place at the time of the incense, the daily sacrifice was ready to be offered upon the altar and the court. Without this was a time of the intense interest for the worshipers who assembled at the tabernacle. Before entering into the presence of the Yahweh through the ministration of the priest, they were to engage in the earnest searching of the heart and confession of the sin, for they united in a silent prayer with the faces toward the holy place. Thus their petitions ascended with the cloud of the incense, while faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant laid hold upon the merits of the promised Savior, prefigured by the atoning sacrifice. For the hours appointed for the morning and the evening sacrifice were regarded as sacred, and they came to be observed as a set time for the worship throughout the Jewish nation. And when in the latter time the Jews were scattered as captives in the distant lands, they still at the appointed hour turned their faces toward Jerusalem and offered up their petition to the Yahweh of Israel. In this custom, Israelites, Christians, have an example for the morning and evening prayer. While the Yahweh condemns a mere round of ceremonies without the spirit of the worship, he looks with great pleasure upon those who love him, dying morning and evening to seek pardon for sins committed and to present their request for needed blessings. Patriarchs and Prophets 355, paragraph 5 and 356. Important truths concerning the atonement were taught the people by this yearly service, and the sin offerings presented during the year. A substitute had been accepted in the sinner's stead, but the blood of the victim had not made full atonement for the sin. It had only provided a means by which the sin was transferred to the sanctuary by the offering of blood. The sinner acknowledged the authority of the law, confessed the guilt of his transgression, and expressed his faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua and him who was to take away the sin of the world, that he was not entirely released from the condemnation of the law. For on the day of the atonement, the high priest, having taken an offering For the congregation went into the most holy place with the blood and sprinkled it up on the mercy seat above the tables of the law. Thus the claims of the law, which demanded the life of the sinner, were satisfied. Then in his character of the mediator, the priest took the sin upon himself, and leaving the sanctuary, he bore with him the burden of the Israel's guilt. At the door of the tabernacle, he laid his hands upon the head of the scapegoat and confessed over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. And as the goat bearing these sins was sent away, they were with him regarded as forever separated from the people. Such was the service performed unto the example and shadow of the heavenly saint, Hebrews 8:5. Picture of Prophecy in Genesis 5:84, last part, paragraph. For the high priest cannot defend himself or his people from Satan's accusation. He does not claim that Israel is free from fault, and the filthy garments symbolizing the sins of the people, which he bears as their representative, he stands before the angel Yahshua, confessing their guilt, yet pointing unto their repentance and humiliation and relying upon the mercy of a sin-pardoning Redeemer. In the faith, he claims the promises of the Yahweh. Patriarchs and Prophets 3:57-8, paragraph 3. After his ascension, our Savior was to begin his work as our high priest, says Paul. Yahshua is not entered into the holy places made with the hand, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of the Yahweh for us. Figures mean a pattern, copy of the original in heaven. This brings the end of our first verse of our context at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song.